Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning, and so far have seen seasons 1 through 19, 41 through 45, and now 46. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about the premiere of Survivor 46. A lot happened in this episode.
A lot happened.
I was like thinking back on it and looking at my notes, and I was like, man, we saw a lot. It's impressive. It was a well-edited episode that we got to see so much.
I agree. I still feel like there's a few people that, like, I don't know super well yet. So I'm excited to keep going here.
Just a few, but not several?
Definitely not several.
Yeah. All right. So because we're going to draft people this season. Should we talk about the episode first and then draft at the end? Or should we draft now? I don't know if talking about it's going to like give away some of our strategy for drafting.
I a little bit feel like we should draft first.
Okay.
And then, listeners, we have not discussed this. I kind of think we should draft first. And in doing so, we'll talk about like some major plot points. And then we can kind of just like talk about things that we skipped.
Okay.
Afterwards.
That sounds good. So the season started with 18 people. Jelinski's gone, so there's 17 people. And there's two of us, so we're going to draft 8 each and have one left over.
Yeah.
Do that math right? All right. How should we determine who goes first? Okay, well, two questions. Are we going to snake order this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that was, I guess, my second question. First question is, how do we decide who goes first?
I'm cool with it being randomized. I'm also cool with saying that I get to decide because I won last season, but that feels a little bit cheap considering.
I'm gonna do random. I'm sharing my screen with you for Google Flip a Coin.
Since because it is just the two of us, I'm not sure that it matters that much, but
because you won say, last season, you can pick heads or tails.
I'll say tails.
It's heads.
So does that mean you get to pick first or you get to decide who goes first?
I get to decide. And I'm going to go second. I'll let you go first.
You'll let me go first. Okay. I think that second is the better option here, but.
That's why. Yes,
you're choosing not letting me do it.
I am. I'm allowing you to do that.
You're forcing me to do it.
I threw a very rough list or order together today. That I'll try to maybe go by.
I have a rough order as well.
And I'm going to actually pay attention to tribes this time because normally I just draft off people and then I'll realize after the fact that like half my team is from the same tribe and that hasn't gone well recently for me. So got to switch it up.
That's
a little bit.
Accurate. I do always pay attention to tribes. I am going to say Hunter as my number one pick.
Sweet. Love it. He was not even close to being my number one pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Honestly shocking to me. Hunter is a very strong guy who I think he's pretty personable. I saw in this episode, like I already liked him preseason. And then he made a kind of like underground secret alliance with Tevin through their Andy Griffith alliance that it looks like they're like kind of working together, but not trying not to be too obvious about it. And I like that already in Hunter. I also saw him get annoyed at all of the singing around camp, specifically from Soda, but like not talking about it. Just keeping like he was annoyed in confessional and he didn't like complain outwardly. And that tells me that he has some social awareness going on. I'm a Hunter fan.
Yeah, I do think he like that worries me a little bit for that's why he was not high on my list is being annoyed by singing like this early on. I was like, I don't know, especially because I would imagine if he's annoyed by that already, there's some other like it's just going to build depending on how long he is with some of the people in his tribe. So I don't know. We shall see.
Quick question before we keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Do these people get the points that they would have earned in episode one?
I think no.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Just checking.
I haven't looked at what points they would have earned. I saw you put them in, but I haven't like clocked like who has more or whatever. I guess, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me, actually. That could be a strategy of like, if you're not sure, you could pick somebody based off their current points, but I don't know. Do you care heavily one way or another?
I don't particularly care.
And then I just say no. Okay, cool. I get to pick two people. First choice for me is going to be Maria from Siga.
Interesting.
I like her. She showed some strength in the first challenge, the marooning challenge that they had, and then also some like forcefulness, aggressiveness, like strategy kind of in the like journey later in the episode that I thought was good of kind of intimidating Jelinski, which was cool. Yeah, I like Maria a lot.
So I also liked Maria. I thought that she played well. I feel like she could be similar to like a Julie from last season. However, I can't pick a woman whose name starts with M when there's the Curse of the M's thing as a thing.
Even though you talked about how Marianne like won, I know there's a different M that went out that season, but like...
Yeah, there's a different M that went out last season. That is my answer to you. So, like, I think that Maria might go far because Mariah takes that bullet for her. But I'm not willing to take that gamble.
With the stats based off of that, I will say last week we discussed what state contestants are from and where that goes. And you wanted a comparison of, like, top three versus all contestants. And I got that comparison for you. I ran the numbers. Oh. And so California does have the largest percentage, but so I, what I did was I did a percentage of like state to get the top three and then percentage of all contestants. I'll actually share this with you so you can see it. And California has like about a 4% deficit on that, where like actually fewer people from California make the top three than all contestants. And the top state with almost a 5% like surplus is New Jersey. So the top few states are New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Florida, Idaho, Iowa are all like at least 1% higher make it to the top three than just being a contestant on the show.
Interesting. Florida surprises me because there's like a lot of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. There's some data you could use for this draft right now if you want.
All right, speaking of using data for this draft, you get a second pick.
I do. I am going to choose. There's like two there's several. I actually really like several of these people already.
Several specifically?
Maybe just a tad less than several. Close to several. I'm going to choose. I only got one. Oh, okay. This is a tough decision.
It sure is.
Man, I wish I went first. I'm going to choose Tiffany.
I definitely would have picked Tiffany if you didn't pick Tiffany.
That was a good move. It was close. It's tough because, like, she did, like, obviously she did good stuff. She got Beware Advantage and turned it into an idol all in one episode, which is fantastic. Never even lost her vote because it was finished so quickly. But that sometimes means she could have an early target on her back. But I think that her tribe, like, I think there's other weak points on her tribe that will go before her. And so that should keep her around a little bit longer, which is why I end up choosing her now instead of letting you take her.
One fear that I have for Tiffany is, I think everything that you said is true. I'm a little bit nervous that they are going to become the hot mess tribe and kind of get diminished. And so, like, I'm a little scared of Yanu.
And so I made a list of Patrick predictions from things you said while we went over people that I'm going to like either pepper in or talk about at the end.
Oh, and fuck.
One of the first notes I have was that you said Yanu will be a challenge beast team.
Oh, I take it all back.
It was a different tribe that you thought would be the hot mess tribe. I don't even know if that made my... Oh, you said you thought Siga would be the hot mess tribe.
Well, I do think that Nami is the challenge beast team. Like, Siga and Yanu might be kind of close down there, but... Yeah. I get two picks now.
You do.
I am going to pick Kenzie, also from Yanu, which
okay.
I know kind of goes against what I just said.
She was my second choice from that tribe, from Yanu. She would be my second choice after Tiffany.
She's my first choice from Yanu. Tiffany was my second. So I wanted to swoop her up before you took her. In part because she was my favorite from that tribe in preseason. I really, really liked her. I think that she...
I do have noted that you said she was on your short list of winner picks.
Yes, that's true. She is a hairstylist, and I feel like that might bode well for her in those social skills that we saw from Jam Jam as well. One of the things specifically from the premiere that I really liked is that she was with Tiffany when she found the Beware advantage and found the idol and knows about all of that. And I think in a lot of cases, it is better to know where the thing is than to actually have it.
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that Kenzie knows all about Tiffany's idol is almost as good or maybe better than having it herself.
That's true. Tiffany did tell her, even though Tiffany's hot take was that people need to shut the fuck up.
That's accurate.
This was a circumstance where they were
kind of looking together.
Yeah.
And then so Tiffany kind of had to tell Kenzie because Kenzie saw her find it.
Right.
But then Tiffany did also tell Q.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, that was
egregious
based off of what she said before. Especially the funny thing is too, is that hot take video, I guess maybe not. Maybe they're just releasing it out. I was going to say it was probably filmed as press now, but that was stuff they would have recorded maybe before the season started back. Yeah. All right. You get a second one.
Yeah,
I will also say another thing, because this was another person, a Maria I chose. You predicted she won't go far.
I still feel like that. She did impress me in this episode. I'm a little bit nervous that we didn't really get to see how her tribe reacted to her coming back from the journey. And she came back with an extra vote. And I'm nervous that will also make her a target. I am, just because I currently have one person from the other two tribes, I feel like I have to go from Siga. I think the person I want to pick is low on your list. And so I don't know that I want to go for them now, but I'm going to be devastated if you pick them before I do.
Curious.
I'm just going to do it. I'm going to pull the plug and do it. And maybe it's a mistake. I'm going to pick Jem.
Okay. They were third on my list for that tribe. It's right in the middle.
Okay, but you already took one from that tribe, so theoretically you could have taken them next round.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to tell myself. I think that Jem is pretty well positioned. She kind of feels to me, to be the linchpin of... There's a women's alliance that is also looping in Charlie on Siga.
Mm-hmm.
And Jem didn't get a ton of screen time, but except when she was becoming friends with Mariah and becoming friends with Maria. And I think it might have been her idea to also get Charlie involved. And I really liked her preseason also, and then just didn't see any red flags from her either in this episode. And so I think that she could go pretty far.
I agree.
This is also tricky because we changed the way that we get points from previously. And so the former version that we used was a lot of screen time can get you points. Where this version that we're using is a lot more the further you get in the game gets you points.
Which, in challenges, doing well in challenges.
And winning which challenges.
Factors into that.
And so I'm having to kind of shift my mindset a little bit of I used to actively pick the biggest characters who would get a lot of screen time. And Jem isn't getting a lot of screen time, but I think that she might go far. Yes. So I'm Jem it is.
All right.
We are so far are very heavy on the women. Four women have been picked and only one man.
Yeah. Man, this is tough. So I get to pick two.
You do.
I think I'm gonna. Do I want
to? I'm gonna be so mad about at least one of these picks. I could feel
I
it.
Think I'm just gonna pick two from the same tribe. Actually, I'm gonna go to Nami and pick Soda and Tevin.
I knew it. Damn it. I wanted to pick. I almost picked Soda instead of.
Tevin, this is maybe, I don't know, mean or unfair, but Soda's cheeriness and punniness reminds me of Marianne, but in a way that I like her more than I did Marianne at the start of the season. Because at the start of Marianne's season, I really was not a big fan of Marianne. But I like Soda. There's a point where she makes like a pun joke at Jeff, and I was like, this girl's amazing. And
I love Soda.
Yeah, so good. She also made your joke at the marooning challenge when she found out their tribe was not me. She was like, not me.
Yes, like, exactly. Now, one thing that worries me about Soda is that she made that joke like four times. I was like, okay, maybe she is going to be a little bit overbearing.
And then Tevin, I also really liked, I can't think of like a specific instance of why I liked him. I just really did.
So preseason, I was a little bit worried that Tevin would also be a little bit much. I just felt like his energy was a little like intense, but it felt like he was able to like read the room quite a bit more in this premiere. And again, that secret alliance with Hunter, I feel like is good for him.
Yep. He also has, he got to go on the journey. So he has an extra vote. Like he's got some good stuff going for him already. Yeah. So those are my two picks, both from Nami.
Fuck.
We're picking eight each, man. We get so many people. This is fun.
I know. Yeah. But I do feel like the several that I really liked are already gone. Okay. I get two more. I'm going to say I have one from each tribe right now. I'm going to say Q. Q kind of led the charge to get Jelinski out this episode. Spoiler alert, Jelinski goes home in the premiere.
A legend. He goes home a legend, you know?
Yeah, several legends. I just think the Q is strong. He'll be great in challenges. He and Tiffany and Kenzie are kind of the like core of that tribe right now. Originally it was those three and Jelinski, and then they kind of replaced Jelinski with Banu. But I feel like Tiffany, Kenzie, Q are like the core. And I could see, specifically, I could see if they do become a hot mess tribe, those three kind of going far together. Yeah. In like Tika 3 scenario.
There's like one scene that I noted that Q's bluntness might make him not last long, like might rub people the right way. I
think it was later in tribal council, he was very blunt and like open, which I really loved, but I was like, ooh, that might be rough.
Yeah.
But he's like openly calling Jelinski out.
I think his, you might have said this while I was trying to find my notes for him, but I also think his strength will keep him around for Yanu too.
Right, exactly. And then I'm going to say Charlie.
Ah, he was my second pick for Sega. I like Charlie.
Charlie is a big Swifty, which is, seems like his defining personality trait in this game.
Well, that and the vest.
And the vest, yes, you're right. He like is becoming part of this women's alliance, so if that becomes a thing, I feel like he is safer there than Tim and Ben are. Tim also seems really concerned about the women's alliance, which makes me worried for him, that he might be like the first victim of that alliance.
They show that like, yeah, we haven't even gotten to Tim, but just because you mentioned him, preseason stuff, I was like, he was one I noted on the, when we went through all the people that I was like, I like this guy, I want Tim. And this episode, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I do want Tim actually.
So yeah.
He went way down on my list, so I don't know.
Same. Yeah, but I liked Charlie. I feel like part of my issue here, actually, if I'm real, is I don't really like many people on Sega generally. And so that tribe is hard, but I like Charlie more than I like everybody else. I will, well, never mind. I'll save that. I was going to say something about Ben, because he is the person on Sega that we haven't talked about yet. But that's partly because he didn't get much screen time. So we'll talk about him more later when one of us pick him. But
all right. So I get two picks.
Yeah.
But at the end of this, we'll each have
eight.
Three tribes. So we'll have like 3-3-2 if we split it evenly between the tribes. Ugh. Well, so I know my first one for sure, I think, is going to be, this is maybe my like dark horse pick, but I'm going to go for Venus.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's a good pick.
I will, admit preseason, I wasn't sold on, I just wasn't sold on how she would do, but she showed some like, I don't know if tenacity is the right word, but like she stuck to her guns and like defended herself when, Tevin called her a princess.
Randon. Oh wait, no, you're right. Tevin, sorry.
Yeah, I think it was Tevin. She fought back on that a little bit, which was nice to see. And she was like looking for advantages already and sees Randon, or she sees that Randon sees her looking. And so she's like, hey, we should look, which that part wasn't a good look for her. Yeah. So I don't know. She also had a really great quote later in a confessional where she said, how dare you assume correctly? And that was just fun.
That was very good.
Yeah. So that's Venus. That's three from Nami. So I probably shouldn't pick more from them because I only have one from each of the other tribes. So here's my, I'm going to be brutally honest here, which I was holding this back. You maybe read this, but in one of the infos about Banu, he revealed he has a bad shoulder and knee. And I was like, that's not good for Survivor. You need shoulders and knees for Survivor.
That's correct.
So I'm like unsure about him. You had noted beforehand from his interview thing we went through that you didn't like his intro version, but he's anything but introverted in what we saw in this episode.
That's totally fair. However, there's been a lot of talk on Survivor Reddit about the preview for next episode. Because it appears that he like screams at Jess during the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, Survivor Reddit is pissed at Banu before even watching the episode, which I think is a way overreaction.
Yeah.
But I am a little bit nervous that based off of that one tiny thing from the preview, that Banu might not be able to like hold his emotions back and rein it in when it matters.
Yeah, I mean, I would fully believe that. We already saw him get so emotional in this episode.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what, like, because the only people left on Yanu that haven't been chosen are Banu and Jess. And I'm hopeful for Jess to have a turnaround. This was a rough episode for her because of her lack of sleep, and she was getting, like, foggy from that. But I'm hopeful
there's been a lot of talk also that she was potentially on withdrawal from ADHD meds, because those are symptoms of like withdrawal from Adderall, and she talked about having ADHD. And so there's part of me that is hopeful that Jess will like be able to turn it around in the next episode or two.
Yeah. So here's the thing: is I need to pick somebody, and if I want to evenly spread out my stuff, I should get another person from Yanu for sure. But I'm split between this, like those two. I don't know. Like I don't particularly want either of them. So do I give up on Yanu, or are they going to turn into like some sort of like strong group that can last, or are they just going to get demolished? It's a tough decision. To be fair, I don't love, like, literally, I like sorted each tribe in a rough order of how I wanted it, and like the top few from each of those are gone. And so as we get closer to the end of our draft, like it is going to be the ones I didn't want ahead of time so much. Oh boy. All right. I'm going to do it. I do have her penciled in last, but I'm going to go on my list for Yanu, but I'm going to pick Jess. I'm going to hope that she can turn it around.
You got her penciled in for last.
For Yanu, like out of those five.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm more worried about Banu, I think. Like, he could do well and go far, but I think already getting, like, I don't want to knock getting too emotional, but he's very emotional this first episode, and I worry that people are going to, like, I worry it's going to affect his game of making tough decisions.
Yeah, I agree with that. As evidenced by me not picking Banu this round.
I mean, there is going to be one of these people isn't getting picked by us. Could it be Banu? We'll see.
Maybe.
You did say in your in our talk before about the contestants, with Jess, you said you don't think she'll last. And so far the show may agree with you, but I still picked her.
You sure did. I am going to take, actually, I was like debating which one I'm going to take first. I'm taking both of those people, so it doesn't really matter. I'm going to take Liz from Nami.
Sweet. Love it.
Now here's the deal. I don't like Liz.
She was the one I think that we both read about and we were like, She is so bland. We have nothing to say about her.
Well, but here's that could the be deal. Good. Here's what I do have to say about her. She's like, I own a bunch of businesses. I'm pretty rich. And that's a bad move on Survivor.
She's also allergic to everything. Yes. Can't eat coconut, eggs, chicken, nuts, much more.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I think Nami's going to go far. I think they're going to get a lot of tribe stuff. And I really don't like Randon. So here I am picking Liz. I wish I could have picked Soda or Tevin or even Venus, but you have all three of them.
That's why, yeah, I was like, I think I realized Nami was strong and I was like, I got to jump on them and get some people quick.
Yeah, that's like, that's kind of what I did by picking Kenzie and Q early from Yanu, because right. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't want the rest of Yanu. I want those two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So my other one then is going to be Ben. We still have three Sigas that we haven't picked.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Ben because he's highest on my list there, because mostly because I don't want to pick Mariah because of the curse of the M names. And I feel like the only thing Mariah has going for her right now is like the Women's Alliance that I feel like could crumble pretty easily. And
you noted in our preseason talk that Ben was interesting, but probably pre-merge.
I still kind of feel like that, but I also feel like everyone left could be pre-merge. Yeah. So I do. One of the things that intrigues me about Ben is that in preseason, I was like, this guy's going to be a big character, get ton of screen time, be like super overly like, maybe annoy some people by how energetic he is. And I feel like the only thing that we got from Ben in the premiere is that he's keeping people's spirits up and people like him.
That is true.
He was not super annoying. He was not a ton of screen time person. So I feel like he might be a shot of positivity in a tribe, which I feel like they would want to keep around a little bit. Specifically, if that Women's Alliance happens, I think it's targeting Tim before it targets Ben and Charlie. So I'm going Ben.
All right. Yeah, that's who was, he's going to be one of my next ones.
You get two picks to round out your team.
I know. So the ones that are left are Tim and Mariah from Sega, Randon from Nami and Yanu, or Banu from Yanu. I want to pick Tim, but I am concerned about how so quickly he was like, gotta fight back on this Women's Alliance. I agree with what you said that he would probably be a target before Ben. But see, the thing is, I saw a clip of Mariah on the show Wipeout and she was real bad. And so I don't think she's going to be good at challenges.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I was like, it seems like you're worried about Tim getting taken out by a Women's Alliance. That includes Mariah, who you could take.
Yeah, I just have on as a note to myself that she was bad on the show Wipeout, which everybody's bad on that show. That's the whole point of the show. But like,
that is the point of the show.
It was only like a 5 second clip.
Having seen Mariah, it is shocking to me. Like her personality type being like, I want to go on Wipeout. Wild. Truly wild.
Yeah. You know what? I am going to pick Mariah over Tim. I think her, like,
book about the curse of the
her nerdy self-awareness is going to be helpful in this game. And then I got to pick one more, Tim, Randon, or Banu. And I see, if I pick Randon, that means that half my team is from Nami. I'm putting a lot of weight on them. But I just talked about why I don't want Tim from Sega. And I talked a lot about Banu from Yanu. I'm going to pick Randon. I'm going to go with four really? From Nami. Yeah. Which leaves you with Tim or Banu.
Well, I really did not think you were going to pick Randon. And I was going to take Randon.
Yeah.
So there is some drama brewing on Nami between Randon and Venus. And I feel like if they go to Tribal in the next episode or two, it is going to be like Randon versus Venus and one of them is out.
Did you see the drama, the potential drama or something going on with Soda and Venus potentially? The clip of when they win the challenge, Jeff goes to hand the immunity idol to Venus and Soda like grabs it and hands it back to Hunter, I think, instead. I don't know if it is actually, I think it's more that Soda was like trying to be like Hunter was like the winner of this, like he put in the most work or something. But it was weird. I don't know.
It didn't also, it didn't look like Venus cared that much after.
Right, yeah, I agree.
But it does look very funny. Oh god. So I have to pick Tim or Banu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want either of these guys.
Yeah, I almost ended up going with Tim because I was like, maybe I'll just count on Yanu losing everything and Siga won't go to tribal for a while and so it won't even be a thing. But
if I pick Tim, half of my tribe is from Siga.
That's true.
I don't want that.
I mean, had we done this before the episode, your prediction for Jelinski was he might be gone far.
Oh,
so you would have picked Jelinski, I feel like.
No, I wouldn't have. If I might have said that. He was second lowest on my list. He was only above Jess, like in my preseason list from Yanu.
Gotcha. All right.
From a preseason list, I definitely have Banu going further than Tim.
Oh, interesting.
But that's preseason, because I thought that Banu, I viewed Banu as a like early merge person, and I think Tim is like a pre-merger. And I thought that, and I still think that, so I don't know why I'm considering picking Tim. Banu just like really disappointed me in this episode so much. However, okay, I need to reframe this. Here's the deal. I wasn't high on Banu, and then Banu was like outside of the core alliance, and then he worked his way in and became one of the core four.
I think that was less him working his way in and more Jelinski working his way out.
Yeah, but Banu worked his way in. Like, Jess didn't work her way in.
Yeah, Banu, that's true. Well, that, okay. I mean, that was Jess and Jelinski both working themselves out, but that is the nature. We talked about this with the season we just covered of 19 of like, sometimes the strategy is kind of like not necessarily having to put the work in or like letting people come to you or something. I don't know. Sounds like you're picking Banu.
I think I have to pick Banu. Here is my actual, if you're taking note of Wild Patrick predictions.
Well, no, I mean, I'm done with those. Those were just for me to air out during this.
Banu feels to me like a textbook post-merge double tribal boot.
Mm, like a... Oh, there's like a... Nasir? Was that a guy?
Nasir, like a Roxroy.
Yeah.
Like someone who has some social connections, but not enough to overcome a twist like that.
Yeah. Who knows? You know, maybe... I don't know. All right, so Tim goes unchosen, which is, for me, a shocker because my preseason stuff, I wrote in all caps to myself, I like this guy. But you know what? Turns out I don't. And he has been, like, had serious eye issues twice in his life. So maybe that's going to catch up with him and he's going to get something wrong with his eye.
If you would have asked me who was going to be the one person that goes unchosen, I would not have guessed him.
Yeah, me either. It's just that because of... and. I don't know if we're getting baited into this Women's Alliance talk because it happens like every season and doesn't end up usually actually amounting to a whole lot. But it's like his, I don't know, it's already foretold. He's going to go if they go to tribal is what it seems. It's hard to pick him. All right. So that is our tribes, our teams that Patrick and I have picked. We have a pretty good spread of people. We'll update on points each week. We are running under a new point system that we talked about kind of from listener who wrote in about all of their Survivor stuff, and so most of that is based off of like finding idols or advantages and winning challenges and things like that.
Though we don't care about episode one specifically, I will say that if we did care about episode one, Chris would currently be winning by 30 points.
Hell yeah.
But we're not, Chris said not to count those points. So right. They're gone.
Yeah. Some of the top scorers from the first episode would have been Jelinski.
But you get 3 points for getting 3 points per vote against you. So 15 of those points are from votes against Jelinski.
Yeah. Then lots of Nami. So Tevin, Soda, Randon, Liz, Hunter, Venus, and then Maria from her journey got some points. All right, cool. Well, that was a good talk through people, but do we have to, I might have to edit this part out. Do we have like season long predictions we should make for this, or are we just going to stick with this stuff?
I'm down to make season long predictions and include it as like a 5 bonus points or 10 bonus points or something. Maybe 5 bonus points, or like maybe 5 for closest and then a bonus for being exactly correct or something like that.
Okay. I like that.
Maybe like 5 and 8 or something. Or 8 and 10. I don't know. 5 doesn't feel like that many.
Yeah, but that's fine. I feel like, because these are somewhat random. So the options for the season-long predictions, what we have now, are episode title spoken by Jeff, idols in the game total, tribal councils with a tied vote, successful idol plays, shot in the dark plays, non-idol advantages, and unanimous votes.
So the way that you are suggesting this, Chris, is...
You get to pick what category you want to go...
I get to pick what category...
And say the number.
And you have to say the number for that, and then you get to pick the next category and say your number, and then I have to follow.
Oh. Yeah. That's not what I was thinking, but I like that.
Okay.
That so makes, like, that will may be easier to follow, for sure, than what I was thinking. So yeah, let's do that.
So I'm
some of going, these are... Well, no, go ahead. Never mind.
So I'm going to pick episode title spoken by Jeff and say zero. Yeah, I feel like he's gotten zero a lot lately. So I'm going to put zero in as my vote there.
So that's like a call on your shot, but it also gives me the easy to get closest by just going one for that category.
That's true.
All right. I'm going to pick, it's tricky. All right. I'm going to pick unanimous votes. We already have one. And I'm going to say three.
I'll gladly go four.
Okay.
I do think three is a good guess, but I
Thanks.
Will absolutely guess four over two.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an infinite amount at that point.
Right, exactly. Successful idol plays. I am going to do a fun back you in a corner a little bit and say one.
Ooh, so I can either say that there won't be any or that there'll be more than one. One is a good pick for that one.
We did say... I'm repeating this because I have no idea how Chris is going to edit this section. You get points for being closest, but then bonus points for being right on.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could just say two here, or you could say three or four.
That's true. I mean, or I could say zero, which That's is what true. I was like, really thinking about. So successful idol plays doesn't mean the idol just cancels out votes. It means it actually saved that person from going, right?
The person would have gone home if the idol wasn't played.
All right. I'm going to say zero is my prediction, actually. I'm going for full bonus points for being exactly right. Look, it's turned green already in our spreadsheet. All right. Then I'm going to go for tribal councils with a tied vote.
Interesting. I've never taken these predictions this seriously before.
Right. I think I'm going to say zero.
Okay.
Which leaves you wide open. But remember, you don't have to just say one. You could say like five.
I'll say one.
Uh-huh.
I think in 45, there were zero. Oh, no.
No, there was one of like everybody tying.
Yeah. Our numbers are so low here. Okay, idols in the game total.
So we got one already.
We do already have one. So I assume that there's three from that. I'm going to say...
But only if they're found, you know?
Only if they're found. That's true. I'm going to say four.
Cool. Okay. I'm going to take the over on that. I'll go five.
I almost said five, but I was like, I feel like four is maybe the sweet spot. Like,
if you said five, I think I would have said four.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'm going to pick, I don't know. Shot in the dark plays total. We did already see a use of Shot in the Dark not actually being played at Tribal Council, but they used the die to randomize who would go on the journey, which was clever.
Oh, I was like, how the fuck did they make a die so quickly? That
was the Shot in the Dark die, which is also weird because they don't actually roll the die for Shot in the Dark.
Right.
But, you know, which Survivor should think about, because how exciting would it be is instead of Jeff opening a scroll, if he had like a big ass, like 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot die that he just rolled in front of everybody.
Or that the player got to roll. Got it.
Yeah. Throw they get like a big, like Price is Right style, like Plinko board dice tower thing. Yeah. All right. Shot in the dark place total. I am going to say two.
That's a great guess. From exit press and from the way that it happened, it feels like Jalinski was legitimately surprised that he was going home here. And I was surprised that Jess didn't play her shot in the dark here. And that makes me think that this group of players is going to hide results from people so that there are not many chances for shot in the dark. So I'm going to say one.
You could say zero.
I'm going to say one.
Okay. All right. Then you get to throw out a number for non-idol advantages, which
we already have two
with the extra votes.
God, I'm going to say five.
Okay, sweet. Six.
Really?
I mean, my number I had in my head before you said a number was seven, but I usually think there's going to be more of these things than there end up being. So I'll happily say six. All right, sweet. We've got those predictions in. We've drafted.
We should. How many points do we get for closest, and how many points do we get for being exactly right? Other bonuses that we have, like the player that wins the most challenges or the player that gets the most votes throughout the season are getting 15 points apiece. So I feel like maybe we could do like 10 points for closest, 15 for exactly right.
That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about some of the stuff from the episode that we haven't mentioned already.
Yeah.
We open really with a lot of shots of them like getting to the island and lots of opening monologues, specifically a monologue by Tevin that was really good.
Yeah, this was like a great, exciting opening to the season.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
they do the marooning challenge. They edited out the part where Jeff talks to contestants and pretends like he doesn't know their name, which was nice because that part's always weird to me.
Yeah, but did you see any of the press about what that conversation was like?
No.
So Mike Bloom, who does all of, like the parade stuff and does a bunch of the preseason interviews, got to hang out for the first like episode basically and watch it happen live. And so he wrote an article about like, here is the opening of Survivor that didn't make the cut. And apparently, instead of saying like, tell me about yourself, what's going on, what's going through your head right now, Jeff just asked a bunch of random ass questions like, what do you put on your popcorn? And just like, was like, what, tell me a good knock knock joke. It just asked a bunch of wild questions to this crew of people. And I think that that's very fun. And I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I want to see that. What do you put on your popcorn?
I'm like a white cheddar guy, I think. I'm like not actually a big popcorn person generally, but if I'm going to get popcorn, it's going to be like white cheddar or kettle corn.
I was thinking more like if you microwave some popcorn or whatever, like what would you add to that? Like seasoning salt, I was good. You know what I would put on is some of that Momofuku like seasoning salt stuff. That stuff's good.
Oh, that seasoning salt. Yeah. I forget that exists. I should use that one.
That's good. So they do the marooning challenge. They have to race under a muddy net, which I made a note that Randon had a smart move here where he used his buff to completely cover his face when he went under there, so that way he could pull it down and not have mud in his eyes and stuff. Really smart move by Randon.
I made a note that I know that Jeff wants them to get like all dirty and be like, this is Survivor, you're in Survivor now. But it makes it legitimately hard to recognize these people that I had just met.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so annoying. I wish there was not mud in the first challenge.
Well, listen, you know, you just got to get out there and give it your all. You just got to jump on that course like a starving man on a Christmas ham.
Yeah.
Which is a quote from Soda in that challenge.
That's why I wanted Soda on my team. I should have picked her first. Damn it.
When they got to the puzzle part of the challenge, it was pretty close with all three teams, but the Nami just destroys the puzzle, which is Soda, Hunter, and Venus working on the puzzle. They like absolutely crush it. The other teams really struggle with it. And so Nami gets the win here, which means they get their like flint, machete, and pot. Siga ends up getting second and Yanu third. So Siga
gets Siga maybe would have gotten first if there wasn't. Something's wrong! Something's wrong!
Maybe.
Charlie just yelled out while he was not working on the puzzle, something's wrong! Which made me.
So Sika gets the pick whether they want Savvy or Sweat, and then Yanu will get the leftovers. Sika chooses Savvy, and so Yanu gets the Sweat challenge. So we see Sika go try Savvy, where they have like a word search, and they find a bunch of numbers in it that they cross off, and then they can't figure out what to do next. And so they do
frustrated watching this happen, because if you're someone that like does word puzzles, it is a very common thing that you find a bunch of words in a word search, and then you look at the leftover letters and they spell a message.
Especially for one that's that small.
Yes, exactly. And they like, there were obviously like numbers hidden, like way too easily numbers hidden in this word search. Mm-hmm. So I was like, those aren't going to be it. And so there's got to be a trick to this. Read the leftover letters. Just like spend a second reading the leftover letters. And that was the trick to it. And they didn't do it.
Well, that was, yeah, we actually don't know what was after that part. So the letters would have said like to dig under the table or something like that.
Yeah.
But we don't actually know what the next level to it was. Like maybe that would have just been the code, or maybe it would have been like, okay, now that you've done that, do this.
That's true. Maybe similar to season 45, they will like put that on a journey later on.
Yeah. So they are unsuccessful there. But the rest of the tribe is pretty positive and cool about it, it seems. I did get confused at one point in this tribe because Maria mentioned, like, I got confused and thought she was pregnant, or maybe she is pregnant. There was a way that she was like talking. Is she pregnant? Do you know?
No, she's not currently pregnant.
Okay.
She was talking. There was a line that was confusing where she said, like, and then my other kid, like, and then now my next kid or something like that. But like, then she later said, like, I have three kids and these are their ages.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah. In my notes, I was like, she's pregnant. And I was like, wait, maybe not. Maybe she just has three kids, which probably makes sense.
CBS would not fucking let a pregnant woman be on Survivor. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah. I agree with that. Ben,
for the like health concerns there is what I mean for the record.
Ben is very happy go lucky. The vibe god. Mariah's a big nerd. We talked about already that she's like pretty self-aware that she's not always everybody's cup of tea, but she's trying to bond with Maria and Jem some. There's an early quick women's alliance forming. They're hoping to pull in another person to their alliance, and they're thinking about Charlie. They can be Charlie's angels, which I thought was cute. And Tim is worried about the women's alliance already. On Nami, they're just like cleaning up after their win. There's a nice shot of a big rainbow over the ocean as they're bathing. Liz does potentially a bad thing here of talking about how many multiple businesses she's owned and sold.
Yeah. Wild move.
Soda takes the lead on fire and crushes it. Also seen in camp songs, which Hunter has a confessional that he's a counselor and hates camp songs, which we talked about. Venus is braiding palm fronds. That's when Tevin calls her a princess and she fights back on it.
So the thing about that interaction that made me worried about Venus a little bit is like, I do not think Tevin meant that as an insult at all. And Venus got like quickly offended and made it known that she was offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't think that Tevin was being mean.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he was either, but that doesn't mean like his intent isn't always the important thing in a situation like that, I think.
Oh, I agree. But I think that if Venus is too quickly offended, that could be a reason to vote her off.
Yeah, we do see she... there's a conversation where Randon tells Soda that Venus might be a threat. He refers to her as Parvati Light. And Soda doesn't trust Randon this early and takes this and talks to Venus about it. So we see that Venus has like some bonding in here with some people already, like with Soda. So that is a good sign and bad for Randon. All of those three people are on my team. And then on Yanu, we get that a lot of my notes are about Jelinski. He claims that he is the monster in the game.
Right, of course.
We see the sweat challenge where two people have to fill up two large urns out of buckets. And my note was, oh, fuck, those buckets have holes. Like, that's so cruel.
Yeah, so mean. I feel like there had to have been a trick to this challenge.
So do you think they could have plugged the holes with like their shirts or like reeds or something?
So Jelinski said in exit press that they were not allowed, that they could only use their fingers to plug the holes.
Yeah, however, I don't know Jelinski if I trust the Jelinski.
In exit
yeah.
press that makes me not believe him at all.
Right, because so, he said that it was Q's idea to quit early, which Q clarified that that was not the case.
Did he clarify that that wasn't the case, or did he respond on Twitter by saying, lies?
Well, right. That's clarifying. This did seem awful, like, but I will say, when they first revealed it, I was like, oh, this seems a lot better than the past couple of years where I have to lug super heavy stuff. Because I was like, a bucket of water is not that heavy. And then the water started pouring out of the holes, and I was like, oh my God.
I did see some people online mentioning like putting the buckets inside of each other so that the holes kind of block each other a little bit.
Then you just have one bucket, but then it's not
leaking.
But
then doing a relay of like sprint back and forth, and then the other person sprints back and forth. And that would end up being faster than getting like a cup or something from each bucket.
Yeah. Because it has to be doable. In the whatever the team that works on these challenges has to be able to do this stuff.
Part of the problem we find out later is that Jelinski misunderstood the description that they were given and thought that it was literally impossible because they were given 4 hours and they are told that this will take several hours. And so he thinks that several means seven specifically. And
it's
he's
in
like,
the name.
We can't do a 7 hour task in 4 hours, Jeff.
And he tries to pull his own hourglass twist by smashing the hourglass.
He does in like their sand on their beach.
Yeah.
Not a good look. Yeah. I don't think he meant to smash it. I think he just meant to throw it, but it smashes hard. Jelinski quits this challenge. Jelinski and Q quit this challenge, but like Q can't do it alone. I did to give Jelinski a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, which maybe he doesn't deserve. I could see it being like Jelinski is clearly struggling and Q is like, is your heart in this? Do you think that you can do this? And Jelinski is like, oh, you're saying we should quit. Okay. And like views it as Q bringing up quitting first when Q was trying to give Jelinski an out, maybe.
So why didn't they do like the season, I think it was 41, maybe was it Nasir, who they just like, instead of quitting and going back, like spend that time searching for idols and clues along the beach?
I think that they wouldn't want to get caught.
Or maybe that wasn't Nasir. Was that Voce or something?
I think that was Danny and Deshaun.
No.
Voce might have done it too.
Yeah, the getting caught though, like I feel like their tribe can't be there. They never, like other people would maybe like give them moral support or something. Like, how are you going to get caught?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. Either way, like I think like I don't fault them for quitting. I don't know the best way to handle it. Like either sit out the time and be like, ah, we couldn't pull it off, or like go back early and just be like, I don't know. It's a tough spot to be in, but I don't think you should ever. I think I'm now of the opinion you should never do the sweat challenge. Even if you have to, you just choose not to do it. Because it's so much energy you're giving up, where literally you're going to get that pot and machete in like 2 days.
I used to be opposed to you of like, no, that supplies is really important. And I've come around to, there's nothing you're going to cook in that pot. And I was like, but the machete is really important to build your shelter. Discovered in this episode, no, they're given pre-cut bamboo to build a shelter with, which I was a little bit pissed about of like, what do you mean they get pre-cut bamboo? And then I discovered, I like read about this online a little bit, that because they go to the same beaches all the time, they are worried about deforestation. So like they have to give them some supplies because they can't just cut down all the trees over the course of years.
Yeah.
So they give them, like, they don't really need machetes. I mean, to cut it into smaller lengths, I guess.
Right.
But, like, or to help cut open coconuts. But they totally could survive without those supplies for 3 days.
Yeah. We learn that Banu grew up before he lived here in India, and he literally lived in a hut made of palm leaves and had a mud floor. And so, like, this type of living will not be a challenge for him, maybe. They eat some ants. They show Kenzie forming quick bonds with, like, multiple people. She's really, like, getting out there with everybody, which is a good idea. I think it made me think of Russell because we just watched his season.
Yeah, but not in an asshole way.
Yeah, and they form a quick four-person alliance of Tiffany, Q, Kenzie, and Jelinski, which we already talked about how Jelinski gets outed from that and replaced with Banu by the end of the episode. And then a boat shows up to all the tribes. We get to have our first journey, one person from each tribe. It's Jelinski, Tevin, and Maria. And they go play a kind of like line game where they each get a card. Maria draws the torch card, and then Tevin and Jelinski have the skull card and the boat card, and Maria has to figure out who has the boat card, right?
Or the skull, are you saying boat?
Did I say boat?
It's a boat.
Vote card. Yeah, I think my thing, I did say boat. I think it's my notes auto-corrected to that. Yeah, and so she's trying to figure out who has the vote card. So if she is correct, she gets an extra vote, and so does the holder of whoever she chooses. And then if she gets the skull card, she loses her vote.
And only the person with the skull card gets an extra vote.
Right. And yeah. So Tevin has the vote card. Jelinski has the skull card, which is a rough spot to be in. They both say that they have the vote card. Maria pushes back on Jelinski and is like, listen, I'll give you one more chance to tell me. And he is properly intimidated and folds quickly and is like, listen, I don't want to be deceitful. I was lying. And so yeah. Maria
Which
and Kevin
I
get
also
extra votes.
I don't think is a bad move on Jelinski's part to like decide to try to build relationships with Maria and Tevin by being honest. However, he then goes and tells the whole truth to his tribe. And I think that was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he returns, explains this, and they're like, why the hell would you say you lied? Everybody's against him on this, which is, yeah, that's why he maybe should have lied about how it went down or talked to Tevin and Maria to be like, hey, can we form, like, listen, because I was honest with you, can we form some, like, lie that doesn't screw me over in the long run or something right. like that?
So one of the things that I want to try to do this season is whenever people get eliminated, bring up their preseason press and see like how true they were to what they said they were going to do, which I was going to say for the end, but Jelinski got asked, what are you going to do if a boat shows up to your beach on day two asking to go on a journey? And Jelinski's answer to this was that he was going to try to do the like rigging the random thing of like make it a random draw, but then he wants to go and trying to do like draw sticks, but then he actually is rigging it for himself.
Well, he should have done that for this challenge.
In this scenario is the boat comes up and he is like, if this is a journey, I want to go, it's me, I want to go, me, and like before they even open the paper. And that also put a target on people's back or on his back so quickly, so that when he then came back with no vote, it was like, you wanted to do this so badly and then you fucked us over also.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this?
If he already had the idea of rigging something like that, he should have done that for the cards at the
journey
of like looking at the cards and being like, hey, the backs of these look different, I can predict what's what.
Right.
See that on Yanu, they've also been sleeping on the beach because their shelter roof collapsed, which is probably leading to why Jess is having trouble sleeping. She's getting a lot of brain fog, which she's worried about because she can't speak very coherently, and it's making it harder for her to make connections. We also see Tiffany find a beware advantage and tells Kenzie about it because they're searching together. As she has to dig below where she found it, she finds a box with a lock and learns that the box has the idol. And a clue for the key to unlock the box will show up, but only after they lose an immunity challenge. and she no longer has a vote. I thought this was a good Beware twist.
I agree. I saw some people pissed about this online, and I was like, I think they don't get it. Because I feel like the Beware is like, you can't do anything until you lose and you need your vote back. And so it turns into, you kind of just have a ticking clock to, in order to get your vote back. You don't get to work on it for days on end. And when you are off trying to solve this puzzle, the rest of your tribe is going to be strategizing about who to vote off. And you're going to have to miss some of that scramble in order to find the lock or find the key.
Plus, they like go together of like the time when she's going to need her vote is at tribal council, and she can't get her vote back until they need to go to tribal council. Like, it fits nicely together of like they have to lose this challenge, which sends it to tribal, which gives her the knowledge to save herself at tribal with this idol. So like, I think it's a like a good match.
I think some people online interpreted the, you can't get this until you lose a challenge, as encouraging her to throw a challenge. And that's not how I read it at all.
That's not how I did it either, but I hope to see, like, this happened so quickly. I want to see somebody stew on it more and think about that, or like see if they think about that.
Yeah, that's fair. We did get a little bit of like Tiffany saying she had a confessional after they lose the immunity challenge of saying,
she's
people
not
are sad that we lost, but not me. I'm stoked. So, like, I can run and do this.
Yep. Last thing before the immunity challenge I have is that on Sega, Maria fills her tribe in and they're happy for her. And then we get confessional where Tim is worried about her extra vote because it'll make it harder to vote out a woman, and he's worried about the Women's Alliance. We go to the immunity challenge for the episode where Ben says, in life, you either rock or you get rocked.
Yeah.
Jelinski brings up the several, meaning seven, and everybody's like, no.
Yeah, every single person is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for him for that one, because it's like, it's not like a bit he's doing. He just like, literally his whole life, he has thought several meant seven.
Yes, which like, sure, I kind of feel bad about for him for, but like, I think that it is just so funny.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, it is a total, part of the reason why it is so funny is because I think it is an understandable misunderstanding, mm-hmm. but a truly wild one of like, how have you gotten this far in life without realizing that several doesn't mean exactly seven? Why would we need another word for it?
Well, that's what synonyms are, man. We got multiple words for the same thing all the time.
I think it is very funny. One of my favorite moments from Survivor in a long time, I think.
So we see this big gecko challenge where they have to drag a 500-pound, 15-foot-long gecko through this obstacle course. Some gecko facts, Animal Corner.
Ooh, we haven't had an Animal Corner in a long time.
I know. Did you know that geckos, the theme is geckos. Did you know that geckos can be found on every continent except Antarctica?
Well, I bet that I could get one to Antarctica if I tried.
They typically range from 1.6 centimeters to 60 centimeters, so like less than an inch to about 2 feet.
I'm pretty sure that I saw a 15-foot-long one.
Although the smallest one ever recorded is smaller than that, and the largest one ever recorded is technically slightly larger than that.
Yeah, I saw 3 15-foot-long geckos, Chris.
They're nocturnal, excellent night vision. Their color vision in low light is 350 times better than humans.
I don't know what that means.
They can see colors well in the dark.
Okay.
And we can't. They can see them 350 times better than we can. They're mostly carnivorous.
Really? That's surprising to me.
Yeah, I think like mostly bugs and stuff. Mm. They have autotomy, where they can purposely lose their tail as a defense mechanism to get away from prey.
I have that too.
The name gecko derives from Malay or Javanese, from the sound that geckos make.
What is that sound, Chris?
Gecko.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Adult geckos shed skin every 1 to 2 months, which I thought they could have made that a fun challenge or a follow-up to this of like, they have to like peel a huge 15-foot gecko out of like multiple layers of skin.
That would be a really wild addendum to this challenge, but it made me realize that I think it would be a very fun like theme. I don't think that this will happen, but I think it would be a very fun like theme to a season if there was something like this in the first episode, and then just like those geckos are part of every challenge for the season. That'd be so fun.
Right. The geckos are polyphyodonts, where they replace their 100 teeth every few months.
100 teeth?
Yeah.
That's like three adult humans.
And they replace them every few months. They also have a pretty wide range of lifespan, but a lot of stuff I read was around 10 to 20 years that geckos can live.
Okay.
But some ranging like higher into the 30s, but mostly like 10 to 20 or so. Yeah. So that's your gecko facts.
Wow. These geckos were so cool. How much money would you spend to get a 15-foot gecko in your house?
I don't want a 15-foot gecko in my house. How much? Do you see how big that was? That would take up so much room. Where are you going to put that in your house?
It was approximately 15 feet, Chris.
Yeah, but that only is one dimension of a three-dimensional object.
I think
you're underplaying the width of this object in your mind, as well as the height.
I'm not.
Where would that go in your house?
It would like become Oliver's bed.
Yeah, okay. That Oliver's, no. Like, his room, I don't even know if it's 15 foot. Like, you think that room's 15 foot? It could fit a 15 foot gecko there? You'd have to bend that tail around the corner, maybe.
Yeah, bend the tail around the corner.
So how much would you spend? Mine is zero. I don't want it.
$100 probably.
And then you also have to pay for movers to put it upstairs, probably, because you probably don't want to lug a 500-pound lizard or gecko yourself.
Oh, no. Notice that I asked how much you would spend for a 15-foot gecko, not for a 500-pound 15-foot gecko.
Mm.
I want that filled with, like, stuffing.
Mm. Did you know when they shed their skin, they eat it? I left that fact out. Fun fact.
I did not know that.
So in this challenge, Nami absolutely crushes it, huge lead, destroys it, like, not even close.
Right.
Soda and Venus on the puzzle for Nami again, which they were on the puzzle for the marooning challenge as well.
And Jelinski is on the puzzle for
Jelinski and Yanu. Jess.
And boy, howdy, are they a bad team?
Did you know that when Venus and Soda were on the puzzle and doing so well, they've been in charge from the get-go?
Yeah.
And then Soda interrupted Jeff and was like, from the gecko. And I was like, I love this girl.
maybe I need to hook you up with Soda.
Maybe. I don't know much about her. I do like Soda, though. Yeah, so Nami gets the win. Siga gets second. Yanu loses. And Banu is very emotional about losing and that someone will have to go home. So we get to spend a little bit more time with Yanu, where it's mostly just talk about how Jelinski and Jess are the first targets likely. Jelinski makes the smart move, you know, of really trying to like whip up some votes against Jess or something. Nope. He goes back and he just lays down.
While like Jess is like,
which don't Jess really also
scramble a little bit.
Like, Jess also doesn't scramble, but is like, Jelinski, you should probably go talk to people. And I'm like, right, Jess, you're also sitting here. What are you doing?
Well, I think Jess was trying to talk to Jelinski, and Jelinski's like, I'm gonna take a nap. And Jess is like, wait, I was gonna strategize with you. What?
Yeah, it was a wild look for both of them. During this whole scrambling process is when Tiffany goes and finds the clue for the key to the lockbox that has the idol and gets that. So she has a full-fledged idol and her vote back already, which is cool. And yeah, just some other scrambling. I don't know if you have anything of note during this you want to throw out.
There is a bit of Q really wanting Jelinski out and Kenzie and kind of Tiffany really wanting Jess out and saying like, yeah, Jelinski's a problem, but like we'll get to him later. I think that they felt like both of them are problems and challenges, but Jess is more of a problem in the challenge, and Jelinski is more of a, like maybe Jess is weaker and Jelinski is a quitter.
Yeah, I think it was the strength that Jelinski might bring is what they were hoping to keep around.
Right. But Q was like, I don't feel like I can trust Jelinski if something were to happen, and so Q ends up winning out here.
I think that is the right move. I think I agree with Q here. I mean, Q witnessed his quitting from the sweat that nobody else actually fully witnessed. But then that combined with going on the journey and how quickly he caved to please people who weren't on his tribe is a bad look.
Yes, I agree with that. I also think that if it is fairly even, going for the person that doesn't have a vote and therefore can't play the shot in the dark is the better move.
Yeah. So we go to tribal council, which opens with Jeff giving a speech about dipping their torches in the fire to make fire, and that's your life and stuff. And while he's giving that whole speech, they cut to Banu, who's mouthing along with it, which was very cute.
Yeah.
Jess talks about her lack of sleep being tough. Jeff pushes back on Jelinski, saying that he didn't actually give up on the sweat challenge.
Jess doesn't just say that lack of sleep has been tough. She like cannot answer Jeff's questions.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah, later on she like can't even form a thought to answer his questions. I also noted, because Patrick and I have played a lot of Werewolf, the game Werewolf before, Jelinski felt like he felt like a Tanner who was trying to get voted off.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Like, every decision he's doing is wrong. He's trying to get voted out. Like, he is a secret Tanner and he wins if he gets voted out this episode or something.
The line of "I'm not a quitter, I would never quit at anything except for the sweat challenge" is so wild. And then Kenzie following it up with like, "and also the journey."
Yeah. I would never quit. Well, except for that and the other thing. And there's another funny moment at this tribal where like Banu's trying to talk about who he's voting for, and Jeff's just straight up is like, "All right, so Banu, sounds like you're voting Jelinski." And Banu's like, "It's time to vote." Instead of answering it, which was really funny.
They vote. It is
Jelinski's 5-0. Yep.
And then Jelinski is like, "That was a total blindside." And I was like, "What tribal council were you sitting at?"
He is a legend.
The entire conversation that we saw was them giving you shit and Banu like all but telling you to your face, "I'm voting for you." How is this a blindside?
The guy is clueless. He also at some point like talks about himself in the third person, but says that he doesn't usually. I think he is the exact type of person who talks about himself in the third person.
Oh, absolutely. He's like, Jelinski's never talked about Jelinski in the third person before.
We get a preview for next week. It shows Kenzie says that people are feeling defeated. Banu struggling with fire making. There's some Yanu cheering at a challenge, which we talked about already. There's shot of Venus getting frustrated or angry as well. So lots of things to come.
Yeah. Some other things from Jelinski's preseason press that I wanted to bring up are that he said for his superpowers, he said that he was really adaptive and he doesn't say no to anything, which just feels like not quite true.
He said yes to doing the sweat challenge and yes to going on the journey.
He did say yes to way too many things, maybe.
Instead of like the improv thing of yes and, he goes yes, no.
He says yes, but.
Yes, but no. Yes, I quit.
He was very personable, which like was kind of true. He also said that he could make fire with his mind and like seemed to actually argue to Mike Bloom that he was pyrokinetic. So that was fun.
See, I think that the thing I've learned in this first episode, and only episode I'm ever going to see Jelinski on, I presume, is he has no self-awareness to actually know what like is going on. And so the fact that he thinks he's personable makes sense to me. I'm sure he talks to a lot of people and he's like, "I'm personable."
So perfect segue into the next answer that I was going to mention is one of my greatest attributes is probably how perceptive I am.
Uh-huh.
Like, so clearly wrong. Jeff told him it's going to be really hard for you to win this game. So Jeff was right.
I mean, Jeff did start the season off by telling them all they're losers, basically.
That's true.
The beginning of this episode, he weirdly was like, "Listen, y'all think you can win, and only one of you is right."
He also mentioned, maybe I didn't save that part. He mentioned two people who he got good vibes from in the preseason, when they're not allowed to talk to each other, but they're all like staying at the same resort.
Right.
And one of them was an Indian guy with a ponytail who was reading Gandhi. Who I think must be Banu. I cannot think of anyone else who would be an Indian guy with hair that could go into a ponytail.
Right.
And then he also mentioned a tall football player from Mississippi, which I think might have been Hunter. It also could have been Q.
Isn't Bonu's hair, does he have a pony? It can't, his hair's like short, right?
I
guess I can't yeah, tell I in all like these pictures because they're all face yeah, on.
I was like, that part does not scream Bonu to me, but I don't know who it would have been otherwise.
Ben might have a ponytail, but I don't know if he... Oh, wait, no, this... Yeah, this is... Yeah, I don't know. Because Ben, I think, has a ponytail, maybe. The football player, I would have thought Q, but Mississippi is Hunter. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, but Q is also from Mississippi.
Oh, he lives in Tennessee now?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I wanted to find the exact wording that he has, and I thought I had saved it, and I didn't have that one worked out. An Indian guy who has a short ponytail up top has been reading books about Gandhi. He seems very peaceful. That feels... I think that has to be Bonu.
That's got to be Bonu, because Ben wouldn't feel peaceful, I feel like.
Right, and, like, specifically an Indian guy. Like, Ben yeah. does not look Indian.
Right, in any yeah. way.
And then this jacked football player... I know he plays football because I was watching him at the airport. On his backpack, it says Ole Miss football.
I bet that's Q.
It also says he's super tall and super strong. And so it might have been Q. I also think it could have been Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was Q, that means that like the people that he was eyeing preseason, Bonu and Q, were both on his tribe. And that's kind of fun. And he did hook up with Q pretty quickly. And that went poorly for him.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that from his preseason press that I wanted to note is he talks about having a meat shield ahead of him. And then it says when it's down to seven, that's when I really need to start taking people out. And I just couldn't let
when it's down to several. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's down to several people, we can start taking people out. Couldn't let that pass without mentioning it. So all yeah, right. Jelinski wildly unaware of himself.
A great first boot that might actually be remembered, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
All right, let's wrap stuff up by doing a couple more predictions and then doing our luxury items. We always do a final three. I know it's early. We got to pick a final three.
Yeah, I forgot about this part.
Our next episode title and the next boot. My final three, shoot from the hip, go early. I'm going to say Maria, Tevin, Venus.
Interesting. I'm going to go Soda, Tevin, Gem.
Really left Yanu out of the mix here. Next episode title. The next episode is Scorpio Energy.
Someone mentioned their astrology sign, astrological sign. I feel like
I want to say Kenzie.
For the episode title or the person that mentioned it?
Both.
Okay.
I might be misremembering that. I don't know.
Kenzie feels like a good pick for that. I will say, I'll say, I can see you're saying Randon has Scorpio energy.
All right, cool. Then we're going to try to predict the next boot, which, if it factors into your decision, that next episode is Scorpio energy. The episode after that is called Wackadoodles Win. And the episode after that is called Don't Touch the Oven.
I'm going to say Jess.
Just going to be Yanu going to the tribal again. I'm going to go with the hope that it's not Jess because she's on my team and go for Tim.
That'd be great if the two people that we didn't pick were the first two boots.
Yeah. All right. We've talked a lot about this episode. Listeners, hopefully you liked all of our drafting and whatnot, but we've got to talk about a luxury item before we wrap stuff up. What's your luxury item this week?
My luxury item is going to be something that I talked to Chris about before we started recording, and that's bingo. The last two Sundays, Kayla and I have gone to a local bar that has started doing bingo on Sunday nights.
You're just talking about the Bluey character, right?
No, I'm talking about the game Bingo. Although Bingo the Bluey character is my son's favorite character from Bluey, so that's fun. I feel like I have thought in the past that bingo was dumb because it's purely luck and it just is like you just sit there and kind of do nothing and just like listen to the things. But this
and bingo, socialize and have fun with people.
But it's hard to socialize when like numbers are getting shouted at you every 5 seconds. So the way that they do it is
tell
that
that to my
you round
students.
every 15 minutes. So like,
did you hear that joke? You didn't
no.
react. Tell that to my students when they're socializing while I'm shouting numbers at them, you know, like
bingo. I'm sorry. Do you teach math by just shouting numbers at your class?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's this new math that Facebook parents are all afraid of and yelling about.
Right. Yes. Facebook parents.
Mm-hmm.
They do a round of bingo every 15 minutes. So it'll be like 7:30, a round starts until someone gets a bingo, and then we are on break until 7:45. And so there is a good, like, you play bingo for a little bit, and then you socialize, you get drinks, you hang out, and then you play bingo for a few minutes, and then you socialize, hang out.
How many boards you get at once?
As many as you want.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Like, you can have like 50 boards?
I mean, like, you're gonna not be able to play 50 boards at once.
I'm just asking. So how many do you play with?
Four.
Four? You can have as many as you want. You only play with four boards?
I think that you are underestimating how quickly these numbers are getting.
No, I've played bingo before, and I'm seeing like people with like a dozen.
Oh, well, again, I'm there to hang out and
no, you said you can't socialize during the number shouting part.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I've been playing with four.
I bet people there playing with more than four?
No, not really. I will say it is also very low key in that like prizes are very, they give away whatever gets donated to them. So like last week I got a random baseball hat and, I won last week. That's a big deal. And a Monopoly game themed off of the city that we live in. So that's fun. But it's not like you're winning like $100. Like I'm not trying that hard need more than four boards. Yeah, but it's a good time. They also do a lot of fun things where it's like, it'll be like, I-22, I'm feeling 22.
Yeah, see, and during that time is when you can check your like dozen boards or whatever.
Yeah, I don't got time for that, Chris. So they have some fun things that they like explicitly call out. When they call before, everybody says, before what? And then the people calling numbers give like a, before we do the next number and do something.
And see, you were saying bingo is all luck. The skill comes in to the ability to check multiple boards.
Chris, when you are in town, we'll go play bingo and you can play with 50 boards.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm not trained
up to the
to do
people
50.
Calling the numbers and get the boards from them.
Yeah.
And so like there's also a social component of I don't want to be the guy going up and getting 50 boards. I also like Kayla and I've been sitting at the bar and playing. I don't have space for many more boards.
I'm just hearing excuses.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I also have won both nights that I've gone. Now tonight I did not win bingo. I won the high five contest that they did between rounds, but I win every time.
Did you use was this like loudness of high five, forcefulness, speediness?
I was not the judge. I don't know the criteria. I know I just won.
Do you use the elbow trick with high fiving people?
I do sometimes use the elbow trick with high-fiving people.
That's a good one. Looking at people's elbows when you go to give them a high-five, listeners, helps to make it more accurate where you connect hand-to-hand.
I feel a little bit uncomfortable with how much we have talked about bingo, so I need you to talk about your luxury item, Chris. Is it looking at elbows during a high-five?
No, I'm not a big elbow guy. I mean, I am during a high-five, but that's like exclusively it.
Otherwise, super anti-elbow. I hate bending my arms.
No, it's just looking at them.
Oh yeah, elbows are ugly.
Man, I feel like I've done very little in the past week.
I will throw out there, kind of shocked when last week you gave three luxury items.
Well, one of those was related to a previous one you had done. And then, yeah, two video games. And pretty much in the past week, I've just done those three luxury items, basically. Played those games and eaten that food. That's all I've done in the past week. I'll say ramen. I went out and got ramen at a restaurant for the first time in a while. And it was great. Got some starters. I had a tasty bowl of ramen. It was fantastic. Love it.
Ramen's great.
Oh, and it was sometimes I love ramen, but the meat that they put in ramen is often pork belly, which is sometimes very fatty. I'm not the biggest fan of that. But this one was a seafood ramen, and so there was mussels in there and scallops and shrimp. It was so good.
Oh, that does sound good.
Yeah. All right, listeners, we've talked a lot about the season, a lot about bingo, and a little bit about ramen. If you have any thoughts on any of that, you should email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how the season's going for you. So much happened in this episode. It was one episode, and we saw two challenges, a journey, an idol found. It's a great start to a season. I'm excited.
Next episode is also 2 hours long.
Listeners, for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.
And bingo was his name, though.
Damn, I should have signed off with that.